Welcome to Omschooling for Spirituality. The Flow is a delightful mix of insight, divine inspiration, and humor, where wisdom meets earthiness to help your ongoing spiritual growth and transformation. Follow the flow of enlightenment and explore everything spiritual through the deepest self-inquiry as student Lisa Berry asks master spiritual teacher G.P. Walsh the kinds of questions you would ask an elder, a wise man, or a sage, and receive direct, simple, comprehensive, and deeply human lessons and teachings. From transcending the experience of separation, releasing old conditioned patterns and wounds, and alleviating suffering, to demystifying esoteric practices and revealing one's true purpose and innate freedom. Welcome to the flow of enlightenment. Transformation is all there is.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for stepping into the flow of enlightenment. We're here with G.P. Walsh. I'm so excited that I get to be here with you, with a master spiritual teacher as yourself. And, well, G.P., it couldn't get any earthier than today's topic, which is opinions. We all have them.
Yes, we do.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about opinions, and you said it very, very neatly put with a bow on top was, beliefs, that they're what we believe. And I thought, wow, because I was going to ask you, can we live without opinions? But right away I thought, well, we're not going to be living without beliefs. So that's a no-go. So it's more about the management of opinions, and they can get us into trouble, and they can protect us, I guess. Or yeah, we're jumping in to explore opinions today.
Well, opinions are harmless unless you actually take them seriously. We all need to have kind of beliefs that we function under, right? Really, they're just conventions. They're agreements that people have. But the moment I think that my opinion is true and I start defending it, I'm just creating misery for myself and everybody else. The problem with holding any kind of belief is that it's not true. It's a belief.
Right.
And therefore it fluctuates, it changes with times and conditions and circumstances. And if we hold on to them, we just suffer interminably. And but we do, because we're so identified with our beliefs, with our, be it be political beliefs or economic beliefs or religious beliefs or cultural beliefs, we hold on to them to give us a sense of stability and a sense of safety. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to question them, because we think if we question them, we're questioning whether or not we're safe. They've become so intertwined with the very natural, you know, desire of the human being to, you know, to survive, you know, to not die, that a threat to our beliefs becomes feels like it's a threat to our person.
Yes.
And in fact, it's not. Beliefs change all the time. You don't believe the same things you did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. If you do, we need to talk, because you're not growing.
Right. So there's an interesting,
you're not
right there, that's interesting belief. If we hold the belief that we must evolve our beliefs. I think I got that.
Say again? Say again?
Yes, if our opinions must change and grow, so we're growing, then that's an opinion we really should, a belief. I was going to wrap this around the whole fact of the word that we hold on to, which is belief systems. We operate from a belief system. And when you said that about, like, if sometimes we defend that belief so much that it's really when it's threatened or in question, it's our safety that is in question. And we either bend and shift or we stay stuck.
Yeah. Another word for belief systems is culture.
Huh.
That's what a culture is.
Yeah.
It is a group of people who have the same basic set of beliefs. There can be minor variations here and there, right? like a Southern accent as opposed to a New York accent, right? But there's a fundamental underpinning belief that the culture needs to survive, which is why the cultures are incredibly oppressive to those that have contradictory beliefs, and whether they be inside or outside. You know, they oppress and shun those who have a take a differing belief from the mainstream inside a culture. And we'll go to war with other cultures to defend it because we're so identified with the belief. We're not willing to question whether or not it's actually true. Or let's not even go all the way to, is it true? Let's go, is it still useful? Does it still serve any reasonable function? Is it creating more problems than it's solving? Now, from the point of view of a culture, that can't be questioned. Culture and religious beliefs get tied up. Because a culture requires some kind of foundation on which it can say this is the truth, right? This is the way things are supposed to be, and that's why we create gods, right? Oh, because God said so. It's written right here in this book. God said so. Who wrote the book? Well, we did. so you can see how this whole structure, because when you take away the inherent authority, you find that it's all quite flimsy. You're building on sand. There's nothing there. And it used to be, you know, some kind of a god would impose it. And that went on for a while, or gods, right? There was just kind of the way of life. And then kings, which drew their authority from a god, which an ultimate authority. As kings began to diminish, systems took the place, political systems and economic systems and cultural systems. And now we're in a world that's just this complete mishmash of religious ideology and political ideology. And so you've got people, you know, in the United States who think, well, this is God created this country. I mean, still trying to root what in fact was a bunch of rich guys sitting around trying to figure out how to protect their money, turns into, you know, God's blessed, right? Yeah, but this is how it works, because we're seeking for that stability. And that's what a culture does. That's what mythology does. That's what belief systems do. That's what God does. They're a buffer against the harsh reality of life, that this body is going to die.
Well, you had to take it there, did you? I was like, hey.
Sorry, Lisa. Gee, this is supposed to be a light show or entertaining, right? Everybody's sitting around going, oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
Well, the good thing is that you took it so grandiose, which is in fact the beginning and the end, right? So you just covered the gamut. And so, but the good thing is bringing into current, the current in the flow, which is great that we have that understanding, because that really, now that helps us understand why we are own gods. Like, you know, I'm God Lisa, you know, and you're God JP of our opinion, but we are taking authority on our, when we express our opinion, or when we gently, quote unquote, say, well, in my opinion, I believe this, da 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 da. Is it possible? Because if that's an authoritative position we're taking, now there's usually only one seat at, you know, at the throne there, because when we are standing looking at, you know, looking at another, and they're their gods, can we stand in front of another and with another with different opinions and authority and safety things?
Well, you know, I another way of saying that is, you know, in my view. Which I think is a much softer way of doing it.
How I see it, in my view.
There's a story of a trickster god, and maybe some of the listeners aren't familiar. But in the West, we don't have this. We got stuck with this one male god who's everything in red and pissed off most of the time. But in other cultures and other mythologies, there was always a trickster god. In the Native Americans, it was the coyote. You know, it's even on the tarot cards, the hanging man, the joker. They're these characters. Their whole point, their whole reason for being is to basically, you know, trip you up when you think everything's going good. That's what they're for. And there's one trickster god, and he wanted to play a trick. So he walked out. He had a hat. He made this hat, and one side of the hat, half the head hat was red, and the other half was blue. And he walked down this road where there were two farmers on either side. And they watched him go by, and he waved to both of them, and he kept going. And then he walked up out to the end, beyond where they could see him, hung out there for a while, turned around, and then turned the hat around. So the same farmer that saw the red saw it again, and the same farmer that saw the blue saw it again, and then walked by them once again. Well, later on, the two farmers are talking about, hey, did you see that guy? He was a very interesting-looking guy in the blue hat. Yeah, I saw him, but it was a red hat. What do you mean it was a red hat? It was a blue hat. No, it was a red hat. Arguing, and it comes to 50 cups, and they get, you know, they come get the two of them, they bring it to the judge, they want to, you know, declare their case. And then the trickster god shows up and shows them the hat, right? If we see that no matter what I believe, I'm never seeing the whole picture. I can begin to open the inner space to go, my view is just a view. And this is what it looks like from here, right?
Right.
You know, now I'm a 68-year-old white male raised in what started as a rural area in Illinois and then became suburbs as the farms got all sold out. That was my experience. I was raised in the world of white male superiority. Right? That was the perspective I had until I began to question it. I began to see the impact that it had, and the effect it had. Even recently, the current riots, or not riots, I mean, they weren't riots, you know, the protests, and then, you know, some of it went south, but most of it was just really peaceful protests about that the black people are treated quite differently than white people. And once again, I'm reminded of the fact that I have no concept of what it's like to be a black person in the United States. I have no concept of it. And for me to say, "Oh, I understand you," is arrogance. I don't. So all I can do is seek their view. Try to walk a mile in their moccasins. What's it actually like? And that tempers me. It gives me wisdom. It makes me recognize my own prejudices that are just kind of inbuilt, and tempers them so they don't take control.
Yeah, that's okay. That's going to bring up a good one. And by the way, because I know people love my corny jokes. So I was going to say, this is when it comes to saying that when you're not seeing the whole hat, it's the whole picture, but you're not seeing the whole hat.
No, you're not.
Well, here's the thing. So about asking someone else, what is their view? What are they seeing? What if they share that? Well, they're going to share what they're seeing. And what if here's a perfect example. My sister and I were raised in the same house at the exact same time with the exact same parents. She has a view of how things were, and I have a view of how they were. And sometimes it inflames me a little. I'm like, that's not how it was at all. You're being a victim. Stop it. Right. And then I I'm like, mom and dad were perfect and you're just a bad child. No, you know. but how do we, when we feel so passionate, when we might in close quarters as family, best friends, and they really are saying, no, mom was really mean to me. And I'd be like, no, mom wasn't. You're just seeing it that way. Like, how do we, because that now I'm defending, you know, mom, who probably she's like, no, probably I was, you know, or something. I don't know. But like, how do we in our inner self, if we have a conflict of what we're hearing when somebody else shares their view?
Well, all you can do is present it as, well, that's not how I saw it, or this was my experience. Because experience is always finite. It's always limited. It's always partial. And, you know, and our experience is always governed by past experiences. Two people living in the same household are not having the same experience.
Correct, yeah.
They're just simply not. Now, I don't care if you're identical twins, born doing everything the same, your clothes are all the same, you're not having the same experience. It's not possible. And if the person you're talking to is open to seeing to seeing a different perspective, well, a beautiful conversation, a very intimate conversation can take place. It goes back and forth. But here's the most important thing to realize. Nobody's perspective is correct.
Right.
Everybody's perspective is partial. Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is where it strikes right to the heart, where we want to hold on to it because we don't feel safe. The idea that I'm not seeing the whole picture makes me feel unsafe. The possibility that
yes.
I could be wrong makes me feel unsafe, and so I'm going to cling to something. You know, and sometimes that clinging can be so severe. A belief when it's held really tightly can become quite nasty, fundamentalist. A belief when it's held despite all evidence to the contrary, that's called a delusion.
Mm. Yes.
I refuse to take in any information that contradicts it. Don't bother me with those silly, annoying facts.
Okay.
I mean, a good example is white supremacy, right? There's
yes.
absolutely no foundation for it whatsoever. There's no evidence whatsoever.
Right.
And yet it's held to tightly by millions of people.
Yeah, it's and that's actually a perfect place to just pause. Well, we have to sneak off to commercial because a lot of people right now, they're closed and hanging on. So right now, if you are listening and you are hanging on to something that might be causing you a little bit of grief and some struggle in your life, we first of all invite you to call in at 202-570-7057. Did I say that right? I hope so. We're going to repeat that when we come back after commercials here on The Flow of Enlightenment with G.P. Walsh and Lisa Berry.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome them.
Yes.
I just can't.
Ooh, we're having a not just a heated, but a very like a spicy conversation here on the Flow of Enlightenment. And today, because I knew it too, you know, the title, the theme about opinions, they lead to so much, and we can have light, fluffy opinions. You know, I like cats, I like dogs, you know, well, that can go somewhere too. But I love what you were just saying on the break there, that some of these, you know what, they're not innocent and they're not harmless, which was a question I'm gonna ask you, GP, and I'm just gonna say the phone number because I couldn't read my writing. I was trying to go from memory there. If you're listening right now and you do hold an opinion, or you're struggling with somebody else's opinion, or perhaps along the way, you've had some, you know, opposing opinions, and they've caused damage, and you'd like to repair that in your life, if that's even possible. We'll soon find out. We are inviting you to call in and ask us, ask GP, and that number is 202-570-5750. Let me do it again. 202-570-7057, and that's Ohm Times Radio if you want to Google that and you think, oh my gosh, what is she saying, this number? But GP, the question really was, is that what if somebody else's opinion, okay, or view, you have that view, I have this view, this is how it was, this is how it is, but it affects our environment, it affects our life. And I was going to use a light, fluffy one just to gently break in here. And my thing was, is that, say I'm living with somebody and they don't think the music is loud, and I do. I can't just say, well, that's your view, that's your opinion. I'm like, it's really loud, I can't think. So now I used a really light, fluffy one there. I wasn't talking about, you know, hit me, you know, encroaching on rights and freedom, but it kind of is sound freedom. But when we take it that light and can see that it does affect us, how do we work with this?
Well, I like the fact that you brought it down to that, because this is where you discovered it's in the everyday. Yeah, we can talk about white supremacy and stuff like that, mm-hmm. You know, national disagreements and things like that, you know, which are big time on the news and stuff. But you and I live with it every single day.
Right? Yeah.
And mm-hmm. something like that, you know, somebody likes headbanger music and somebody else likes classical music. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing inherent. I like the music loud. I don't like the, you know, I like the music soft. You know, I like new age. You know, I like rock and roll. Inherently, there's no problem with that, right? That's what you enjoy. Right. That's what you enjoy. No big deal, right? But the moment you have to interact with somebody else, a whole different dynamic has to come into play. How do you find harmony between you?
Yes.
And that's the question. And whether it be over what kind of music or how loud it's going to be in your home or between nations, the question mm-hmm. should be, how do we find harmony? And that's not the question people ask. The question is, how do I assert the fact that I'm right over you?
That's right.
Right. You know, the most courageous thing a human being can do is question their own assumptions. It is the most difficult thing and courageous thing one can do, because you're looking at the place where you have, you know, you're looking at the place you've built your house, and you're checking for cracks and to find out if, in fact, the foundation has been laid in the sand.
Yes.
And we don't want to do that. We don't want to discover that. We don't want to endure the discomfort of having to say, you know what? I'm full of shit.
Yeah.
This isn't true. I've been acting as if it is and wondering why things aren't working. Because the fact of the matter is, when we hold a belief and it isn't true, it will betray itself. It will create some kind of discord or inharmony. And when that happens, we have two choices. We can either question the assumption, or we can hold on to it doggedly and become even more virulent about it. And that's actually what you see happening in the world today. The various kinds of opinions of, you know, what economic or political system should be, or what religious system, they've just dug into the trenches, and they'll wipe each other out before they'll question the truth or falsity of what it is they're holding on. It has to start with you and me. The most powerful thing you could do is find a harmonious resolution with that one you're living with who likes the loud rock and roll while you like soft new age. If you can find a harmonious resolution to that, you have opened up the door to reconciliation. That's how the whole world will have to reconcile. It has to be possible, my dear. If it's not, we're doomed.
Right. So that's the commitment to it. Now, reconciliation. Can you? Okay, what does that word mean to most, and the truth of it?
Well,
is there always a winner, or there's no winner? It's just everybody wins.
There is no winner. Yeah, yeah. If there's a winner, it's not a reconciliation. It's a conquest. A reconciliation is when two opposite positions find a common ground and work together.
Oppositions.
Simple. Yes, they are in opposition, but the internal harmony is more important than winning. Because the only alternative, you either reconcile or you dominate by force. That's the only, there's no other choice. And you can see which way the world has chosen to go.
Yeah. As you said there, you've dug yourself in a hole now. It often can feel that way, like a defeated hole, like, oh gosh, we're here, so we might as well go along with this way. But I like this, if we take winning off the plate, it's not there. There's no choice. You don't get this as an option to win. It's reconciliation.
It's like nuclear war. Nobody wins. It's the most ridiculous idea in the world. I won. I wiped out everything on the planet, including me. Yay me. What?
Some people believe that, actually. They do. They go, yay me, I'm here, and I have power. So then we get into the power of our opinions, actually, are what fuels a false powerhood.
Amen. Oh. Amen, sister, yes. And that's all media is the manipulation of belief. That's what it is from beginning to end, you know, except for the little bright spots in a little show like on Om Times Radio, where people are not trying to just dominate somebody, but to present real alternative points of view that are beneficial and will alleviate suffering. And that's what this radio show and iAwesome, who's our sponsor, and I mean, that's what they're about. But the dominant forces of media, that's not their position. Their position is to try to convince you of something you don't actually believe to be true. As one person put it, they called modern media spreading light or spreading darkness at the speed of light.
Ooh, that was a clever slogan. Well, bad slanty slogan. That is true. Actually, I will take this opportunity, because you did mention iAwesome being our sponsor, and before even mentioning the little blurby thing about them, is that, you know, I think that is a place where we all are. Our hearts are looking for a place where we can question those dark places, looking for the cracks in our foundation and not hoping that we haven't built it on sand. However, if we did, we want to know. So I think
if you don't want to know, well, that's a problem.
then surprise.
Because then the suffering it's just going to compound, right?
Yeah. We don't want surprise suffering. So I will share with everybody that, yes, iAwesome is our sponsor, and it stands for International Academy of Universal Self-Mastery, and questioning of yourself is part of how to self-master. So iAwesome is offering a space for people to connect with metaphysical concepts like this in an educational system supported by a social and community-based environment, with encouragement, empowerment, integrity, and love being the foundation of their online setting. They invite you to become a student today. We want you to go there today for your free student trial up till we launch our launch, which is Thursday, October 29th. So it's free up until then. Yeah. And then after that, honestly, it's just $9.99 a month, as in $9.99 a month. So if we want you to pop on over to iAwesome, which is IAUSM, iAwesome.com, and sign up for the launch party and join us and celebrate with us and kick this off.
Yeah. And, you know, people say it's 10 bucks a month. Well, that's the price of not getting bombarded with advertising and have your personal information commandeered for marketing purposes. I think it's worth it myself.
Yes.
Because that's what that's what Facebook and these things are. You know, they're not your friend. They're only there to harvest information about you that they turn around and sell. And they don't care who they sell it to. Mm-hmm. But that's free. No, it's not. Yeah, you're the product.
Yes.
You're being sold.
Yes.
So to me, it's well worth it. It's like, you know, it's like that app you buy, you know, in app purchases, or you can upgrade and get the monthly thing, and you won't be bombarded with advertisement.
Yes.
It's just the world we live in. There has to be some kind of form of revenue. So either we sell information about you, or you say no here. You don't sell information to me. You know, you pay for your cable. You don't get commercials. It's really that simple.
That's right. Yes. You know, the one thing about the commercials, which this is just coming up right now, about choice, about suffering, about all these things. Do you know that I'm one of those, I can make a decision rather quickly. I need it or I don't, or I just want it. And now how can I afford it and all these things? But it actually causes myself, I feel a little bit of suffering whenever somebody asks me to buy something, because now I have to either say no to somebody or I have to buy something and put money out maybe I didn't want to. So for me, I actually, I'm very stressed by commercials. I love commercials. I love especially the information ones. But whenever there's a product, I actually feel like, oh no, please don't try to sell me this. This is putting, I'm suffering. I actually feel like I'm suffering. Like I just know it's coming. I have to make a choice or a decision.
I know
or
it's coming. I know it's coming, yes.
So that's just...
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so it is,
I totally, I feel the same way. But we, you know, there's certain things you can bring into your life and certain things you can't. We have to be discriminating about that. You know, it's part of the whole opinion. Noam Chomsky even wrote a book called Manufacturing Consent about how media creates public opinion and that sort of thing. It's a very sophisticated process they go through now. And so marketing is an attempt to get you to actually think you want something you don't really want. It wants to undermine your rational process of saying, well, is this something I really need? Am I really going to make use of it? Is it worth the money I'd have to spend? Is there a better place to spend that money? And can I afford it even if I do decide I do want it? They want to bypass all of those things and just get you to say yes.
Exactly. That's the pushiness. And you just said something awesome. You said public opinion. And that's our theme. So I was like, ooh. And it is, there is a power.
Keep it back.
It was fun. It felt like I was on like a football narration. But the power of the public opinion, it's influence. And nobody wants, you know what, that's the thing, is that it's painful to feel separate. And so if the, you know, re-influence, to everybody else is doing it, everybody else has got it and everything. And so now this opinion, I wonder how do we do a check-in with ourselves to find out if all of our opinions are even ours?
Oh, wow. What a question. What a question. I mean, we just stop for a second and think how few people have even asked that.
Yeah.
They assume that these thoughts are going through my head. I believe them.
Yeah.
We never go, well, where did this actually come from? I often call that voice in your head the robot.
Mm-hmm.
That voice in your head is not your voice. That is the voice of conditioning. That is the stuff that has been instilled in you, starting with your parents and your immediate family and your culture and your church and the systems you live in. 99.99% of the thoughts you have are not yours. They have been instilled within you. And you've just not questioned it.
Right.
As I said, it is the most courageous thing to do, to question opinions, because you're going to have to stand back and look at this parade of thoughts going on in your head that have formed a pattern, right, that you've gotten so used to, you're comfortable with.
Yes. Ooh.
And yet
yes.
they're not yours.
How do we know that?
I can tell you. How do you know what is yours?
Yeah. Like, okay, so we're questioning them. How do we question? How does questioning happen?
The only way to know which thoughts really belong to you is to know who you are. It's the existential spiritual quest. Because the thoughts you hold about yourself are not your thoughts either. They've been instilled in you. You were told who you were. This is who you are. You're this race. You're this gender. You're part of this culture. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. All of this stuff was instilled in us, programmed into us, like, you know, like little puppies being trained. Mm-hmm. And later on, we got some kind of a mind And it started forming thoughts, and we started, these are my thoughts, these are what they are. Have you ever actually stopped and looked at where did this thought come from? The ultimate question, that's why the ultimate question in spirituality, it was our first show, who am I? Mm-hmm. Because the I think I am is a collection of thought. It's an opinion. It's a belief.
I am an opinion.
It's yeah, not I am an opinion. Who you are. I am an opinion. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, good.
That's very funny, but no, it's true. I'm an opinion. Yeah. I seem to be
and to
a
everybody
bird.
Else.
There's just yeah. Yeah. Yes. Because look, I mean, do you know somebody else, or do you know your thoughts about that person?
Exactly. Ha ha.
Now, do you know yourself? Or do you only know the thoughts about yourself, the Ooh. Opinion of yourself?
Right. Oh, my gosh. That was really deep and good because you turned that finger right around. Okay. Yes. You don't know somebody. You know
Stay
your
with
thoughts.
Me. Stay with me.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go, what? Yes. Yeah. I mean, we just kind of cut the juggler open.
Yes. Yeah. You're morbid today.
Sorry, these really aren't the best metaphors, are they?
Oh, gosh. I'm handling them well here. I'm getting Sorry. Panicky at the end. But then, no, I like that one. If I can actually, it's so easy to look about how we see other people first, then to turn that finger and to question the same thing. But if I think I know somebody else and I go, well, no, I know the thoughts I have someone else. And then you said, well, do I know myself? Well, I know the thoughts I have of myself and the opinion of myself. And this is where the whole self-inquiry really gets juicy. And again, those little commercials are sneaking up. And so I just want to, we do have a question from our listeners from earlier. They wrote this in prior to us starting the show, and it's a really good one. I think it's going to help a lot of people. So we're going to sneak away to commercial, but come on back, call in if you'd like at 202-570-7057. That's Om Times Radio Station, and you can ask your own question about opinions and anything around them when we come back on the Flow of Enlightenment.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
These are the sounds of a dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served. Thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Everybody, welcome back. We're here with GP Walsh and myself, Lisa Berry. And GP, here we go. We're getting into the super practical. These are the questions that came in, but they're going to have a lot of meat to them, because the question that was written into it. And please, everybody, if you would love to send in some questions, we'd love to hear you. And GP, can you share that email address again with people where they can write?
Oh, yeah, just questions at gpwalsh.com.
There you go, super easy questions with
very simple questions at gpwalsh.com. Hey, I've got a question.
There you go.
Very simple.
There you go. An opening line. Well, this question was, and I'm going to do it two-sided here. How do we repair damage done when two people have had opposing opinions or conflicting opinions and things have happened? And before I even say that, is there damage? Because I don't know that. Now I'm diving deep. Like, is it actually, would you call it damage? But how do they get back? We talked about reconciliation, but I think it's a little bit deeper is where we want to go with that, how to repair this.
Well, that is the nature of reconciliation. And yes, there is damage, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're in an impasse. The intimacy has been lost. And, you know, especially if it's a close relationship, the intimacy is everything. Without the intimacy, it becomes just kind of a matter of convenience or convention. And the whole spirit of it, the energy of it, the love of it, the passion of it gets lost. It's a problem, you know, especially with romantic relationships. And these things can actually kill it. And it's because we're trying to maintain a position. It's very simple. In a reconciliation, I do this internally, where you do it with yourself. But the model that works in all relationship programs for couples is always the same. You start with listening. And not just listening, planning what you're going to say next, right?
Right. Yes.
or looking for fuel to tell them how wrong they are, but really listen. Shut up and listen. So that you hear them, you hear where they're coming from, you hear the import of it. So you hear with your heart. And you don't have to agree. Right? The opinions of the mind can be quite different, yet the unity of the heart can still be maintained. And that's what gets lost. When we hold on to the opinions in the head, then we lose that heart connection, because the opinions of the head will come and go. But a heart connection, if it's maintained, can last a lifetime. So these things are, I mean, that, to me, that's the tragedy. And we do the same thing to ourselves. We don't listen to ourselves. We don't listen to our feelings. We're too busy suppressing it or reframing it or trying to do self-help voodoo on it. You know, everything to fix ourselves rather than just listening to your own body, listening to your own emotions, listening to your own experience. That takes a level of authority and presence that isn't hard, but we're not taught to do it.
Down to practicing again. It's a practice.
Now
I always have to take it like, because it's funny, but as easy just to prove that opinions come and go. We choose differently sometimes. Sometimes we want pineapple on our pizza, and some days we absolutely couldn't even imagine on there. So it's just that goes to show that our, not that we're flighty, I don't mean that, but it depends on at the time that our experience, our mood.
Oh, yes, we are. The mind's totally flighty. What you wanted yesterday, the thing you were living, you just couldn't live without yesterday, is on sale on eBay today.
That's so true.
We are flighty. It's okay. Be flighty. My God, if you're flighty, you're not fighting with anybody, right?
That's true.
When you hold on to something, you start the arguments.
Oh, that's funny. If you're flighty, you're not fighting with anyone. That's awesome. It's the people who go, those people should not be flighty.
Oh, yes. Those flighty people. They're ruining everything.
Oh, that is a good thing to be flexible. So this person wrote in, if they've realized, like, wow, we know that we've had, maybe it's with children, maybe it's with, you know, their grandparents, but who knows? It could be with anybody, but you've come this, there's some damage is done, the intimacy is lost. And that was a very beautiful way of saying that. That hit me pinpoint, because I remember as soon as I would ever have an argument or a disagreement with somebody, I would feel so uncomfortable because it felt really broken. And I would take it really hard. And then how do you, it's like, all right, well, let's get back there. But it's, what are the steps are to listen. And I think we should start a new trend. I think that when people have to listen, they're not allowed to respond for 24 hours so that you don't have to sit there and try to think of what you're saying in the next 30 seconds.
I'd be like, torturous. Yeah, that's right. No, that would be about torture. Yeah. But that's the discipline, the willingness to listen. But you know what? Everyone knows when they're having a conversation, and they know if they're actually being listened to. You know it. You can feel it. There's a spaciousness. There's a loving acceptance, right? Even if there's a great deal of strife in the moment, so you feel it. You feel that I am being heard. And you know what? If I'm heard, I don't even need to be agreed with. I'm right.
Ah. Ooh.
This is actually the same thing internally with your own feelings and the like. You wouldn't believe how much internal conflict you can dispose of if you just listen. Your body, the emotions, they're simply trying to be heard. Once they are, they let go.
Yes.
Because you're the master, they're the servant. Their job is to make sure you've heard them. Your inner relationship with your inner world is no different than any intimate relationship in the outside world.
Yes.
They want to be heard. And once they're heard, they're good. Now you can do with it what you want. And there's a certain feeling that if that's the case and you feel heard, you can agree to disagree. Because the intimacy and the love is more important than a fucking opinion.
I love that you said that, agree to disagree, and when the intimacy is more important. And I love that. If I'm heard, then I don't even need to be agreed with. And that's when those little kids, you know, when they're so innocent and something's going on and they're scared or the monster or this, and as long as they can tell you that they saw the monster, that's all, that's the most important thing.
And you say, yes, you saw the monster. And they did.
Yes, they did.
There are no monsters, right? It's like, what? But look in the closet, you idiot. You don't deny it. You acknowledge their experience is their experience. Hmm. And it's only from there that you can bring somebody to a higher level of experience. Only from there. You can't bring somebody to a higher level of experience when you're denying the validity of the experience they're having now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, validity, validate. So when we say to somebody, let's agree to disagree, or I disagree with you, we're not saying, I'm denying what you're...
Right.
You're just saying, I haven't had that view, or I didn't see that side of the hat.
I didn't see the red hat, the red side. No.
Right. Right.
And I really didn't. I had no experience of the blue hat.
Right. Yes. I think everybody needs to hear the red blue hat story. Okay, everybody needs to listen to this show so they can have that story. Okay, and there's my big one too, validation. Should we rely on being validated to love ourselves with our opinions?
You can validate you without validating the opinion. The opinion doesn't have to be true, right? People think, I'm validated when my opinion is validated. But the opinion is flighty. It's going to change. Why validate? Mm. Why? You don't have to. It's what we want is for ourselves to feel valid. If I feel valid, I'm perfectly willing to let go of an opinion because it doesn't affect me. I'm still here. I'm still fine. I'll have a different point of view. I'll have a broader perspective. I'll form some different ideas, and those are going to be nonsense too. Okay, cool. I'm validated.
Right.
Because the constant through all of the opinions is you. You're still there. You don't need to hold on to opinion to feel valid. Matter of fact, holding on to an opinion to feel valid will make you feel invalid, because we instinctively know that opinions aren't true. Mm-hmm. They're just a momentary point of view.
There you
go. So how can it possibly validate you?
Right.
Something deeper validates you.
And those who right now are listening and thinking, gosh, wow, I'm not separate from my point of my opinions. I have been feeling like, and I have believed up until now that I have been my opinion. I'm waiting to be validated. I'm waiting to prove it. I'm waiting to convince the other that mine is right. that their steps now, they have a few steps to do here. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's necessarily easy. And the more we have invested in these points of view, the more difficult it can be. But I am saying that it's an absolute necessity if you want to be happy. Opinions will never make you happy, because there's something you always have to defend. You want to be happy? Drop your opinions. Matter of fact, there's this very beautiful Zen saying. It says, don't seek enlightenment. Just drop your opinions.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, drop the opinions. If we are operating from, if we're taking action because we hold these opinions, I'm just imagining right now, like I'm thinking, oh, wow, if I was really honest and looked in at my opinions and dropped them, I could very well be a completely different person in an hour. Is this where transformation occurs?
Yep. It wouldn't take an hour either. That's a luxurious amount of time. Yeah.
Oh. Could we?
Yeah, everything you do is a result of your beliefs, you know? You do what you do because you believe it's valuable to do. You do it because you believe it's going to have some kind of reward. You believe it's going to have some kind of return. All of it is driven by beliefs. And we can't throw all that out. I don't want people just sitting in the corner chanting Om all day. you're going to be acting on them. The question is, are you attached? Are you holding on to them? Are you absolutely convinced they must be the case? Or are you willing to just kind of start walking in a direction and shift directions when the wind changes, when you get deeper insight? Because every step you take creates a new world for you. Transformation is not something that happens when. It's something that's always happening.
Yes.
Every step you take, everything you do, shifts the entire world that you're in. Now, if you're walking through a world thinking it's a certain way, every step you're taking, you're now, the more steps you take in that version of the world, the more in the illusion you are, the more in the dream you are. Because the world's changed. It's changed because you've done something. So the dynamic is different. So every single moment, creation is brand new. And if we keep insisting on our plan,
yes,
we're going to be increasingly fighting with life rather than flowing with it. Which is why we call this show the flow of enlightenment. It
yeah,
is
not
a
the fight
flow.
Of an enlightenment.
Not the fight of enlightenment. Yeah, like... What a dreadful idea! Oh dear.
Oh gosh! No, I don't know if we have. I'm going to squeeze this tiny quick question. Is that if we are holding an opinion about an illness that we have, that we even have it? Can anything be dropped? Can anything be transformed?
Absolutely anything, and it's all opinion. I'm not a doctor, so please take everything I say with a grain of thought. That's the disclaimer. It's all opinion. I don't care who they are, I don't care how many lab coats they have or how many letters they have after the name. It is an opinion. Disease, illness, physical malady is created in the mind. It has no material source or cause. It is all a matter of thought and belief.
And that, I have to say this, GP, I'm going to open this up right now, because if I believe that's what we may discuss on our next show. That's a good one. So if anybody, let's do this. Let's next show anybody, if you have questions for yourself about how to transform Let's go with that. Transform your beliefs or thought about illness or what, how suffering, the conditions that you are experiencing right now. That's your life experience. We would love to hear from you and hear those questions. So that would be questions with an S at gpwalsh.com. And I hope that I would love to hear your impressions, your comments about these shows, what you'd like to hear. So GP, we're definitely inviting everybody to jump into the flow of enlightenment and transform.
Yeah, absolutely. We're doing this show to answer questions.
Yes.
So
yeah.
The show will take the direction you all want it to.
Well, this has been a beautiful, I really am going to be really watching, observing my opinions. And I hope that everybody else too, but thank you, GP. And do you still observe yours? You're observing yours every day?
Well, yes. Yeah, for sure. I mean, they come up. I don't have many of them anymore.
You've done a lot of work.
Because I know that they're opinions, you know. So they're more, it's not really an opinion, it's a convention. It's, you know, it's just a particular way of being in the world that is necessary at this time. And I know it's not true.
And I know it's not true. I'm going to leave it like that one. So opinions, the theme today, it ended out with, I know it's not true. Well, thank you so much, GP. I just love this. We'll see everybody in 1 week today, Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, here on Om Times Radio, The Flow of Enlightenment. Thank you so much, GP.
Thank you, Lisa. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everyone.